Turning the phone right now is author Jill Shalvis. Her new book, The Family You Make, a new series set Sunset Cove set near Lake Tahoe, is on the phone. And Jill, we talked about this time last year for The Forever Girl, your Wildstone book, and now you're back. We're back another year later.
We are. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I also loved your book, Love for Beginners. I'm not sure why we didn't talk for that one. I forget what happened, but we're back again. You got the new book.
And
I read it a few weeks ago, and I didn't have any new books to read, and I knew I was talking today. So I reread it again this morning, and it's just as good the second time around.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you.
Do you consider your books rom-coms? Do you consider them female, like more for females? Or do you just consider, it's just a book?
Well, to me, it's just a book. But if I had to categorize it, I think people have trouble because there's romance. It's also a rom-com.
Yeah.
And it's also got women fiction elements to it. So I think it's a hybrid.
Yeah. Well, your books are always good, and they're always kind of the same theme. It's family. It's people that, have to put their past behind them and hopefully take a chance on their future. And this book kind of follows the same pattern, and it's got great characters. It starts out really great, and it's a great read.
Well, thank you. I do love to write a sense of community, whether it's family or friends or found family or enemies to friends or whatever, however you want to call it. I always enjoy that because I started out writing small town romance, and I loved the sense of community in a small town where you can leave out a pot of gold in your car and it won't get stolen, but you can't keep a secret.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And so now that I'm writing the bigger books, I try to keep that same sense of community in them.
And you're from this area in Lake Tahoe, so you know about the area that you're writing about.
Yes, this is a first for me, actually. I live in Tahoe, and I've never set books here before, but now I'm setting a whole series here, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, it's the main characters are Levi and Jane. They're the main characters in Levi and Jane's family and their past.
Mm-hmm.
There's also supporting characters of Mateo and Charlotte. Charlotte is Jane's best friend. Mateo is Levi's best friend, although they've had a bit of a strained relationship the past few years because of something that happened with Levi a few years ago that he kind of just took off from everybody and closed himself down, as did Jane. But these two kids, they're stranded on a ski lift together. They're the only two on there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to set up.
The ski lift has stopped. There's a bad storm going through, and they're stuck up on this ski lift, a gondola. And that's actually kind of real life because that just happened. I'm not sure what city, but there was a bunch of people stranded for a few hours. It's kind of
It does happen. But what was fiction in this case was they were alone on the gondola, and it was the end of the day, and there was no one behind them. But the gondola in front of them goes down, and so they actually think they truly believe they're going to die. I don't think it's a spoiler to tell you that they don't die. But the things that you do that when you think it's the end is interesting to me. I loved writing that.
Yeah, and Levi gets hurt, and Jane is a nurse, so she's taking care of him. He's in and out of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And he's still flirting with her because he's Mr. All-American guy, and she's the girl next door. And, even though he's got a concussion, we think, and he's still flirting with her, and she's like, oh, my God, we might die, and you're flirting with me. Okay.
Yes, and then he calls his mom
he thinks
he's going to call his mom to tell her goodbye, but when he hears her voice, he can't do it, right? So what does he do? He tells her, don't worry, I'm happy, I'm in love, everything, he's telling her everything that he thinks she's ever wanted to hear about him, and then when he doesn't die, of course, he has to produce the woman that he says he's in love with.
And his family is something else. His mom is one of those moms that is just... She's very protective, but she's very dominating. You don't say no to her. What his mom wants, his mom gets.
Mm-hmm. And what she wants is Levi happily in love.
Yeah. And we learn in the book that Levi was a surprise to the parents and to his older sister, Tess, because his sister is 10 years older than him, and he wasn't really ever expected. But, I mean, they all have a great relationship. A little strained, a little dysfunctional, but in the most part, it's a great relationship, and I'm not going to give too much away about later in the book, but there's a family dinner that's just crazy.
Yes. I've always I've always enjoyed the dynamics of a big family dinner. You know, this is all fiction to me because I don't have a big family.
Okay.
I didn't come from a big family. Oh, okay. So I just really love to play with that sort of situation as I would imagine it would go.
Well, and as you said, you know, they both survive. They kind of become friends. He's, you know, he really likes her. Jane is pretty steadfast, and she's not getting involved with anyone. She's afraid to trust.
Island of one.
And she's going away in a couple of months. She's a traveling, kind of a traveling nurse. She goes from place to place, and she's just here for the winter season. And
yeah, and that suits her, that kind of traveling.
Yeah.
She's an island for one. She doesn't have to ever set down roots.
But she and Levi get to talking, and he begs her to, you know, to be his pretend girlfriend for the upcoming 30th anniversary dinner, which we just kind of mentioned. So they start hanging out. They get to know each other. They get close, even though she says, look, don't fall for me. This isn't, nothing's going to happen. And of course, you know,
just pretend.
Yeah. And you know how these things work in these books. I don't think it's a spoiler, yeah. Jill, to say we know how things happen.
Yeah.
And we also follow Mateo and Charlotte. Now, again, Jane lives with, is staying with Charlotte at the house right now. Mateo lives next door. There's a story with Mateo and Charlotte as well. And they both, well, not so much Mateo. He's the hunky doctor. But Charlotte has issues as well. And we follow those two and their interactions with Jane and Levi. And, you know, everybody.
I never intended to tell Charlotte and Mateo's story. Actually, they were just going to be supporting characters, the best friends of the leads. But they, their story kind of told itself. They came to life, and I just fell in love with Mateo, so I had to tell that story.
And there's also the awesome cat, Alley Cat.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cat.
Alley Cat.
He's an alley cat that lives near the house that Jane has kind of adopted, but she's afraid to get too close to her because she'll be leaving. But Cat becomes kind of a minor character in the story.
Definitely.
So we follow the adventures of these two, and, you know, we won't give too much more away. I think we've told a lot of the story, but no spoilers.
We
you just have to read it, and in typical fashion, things happen. Will they or won't they? And it's a great, solid start to a new series that you got going out.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope readers love this new series.
People can follow you at JillChalvis.com, at Facebook, Jill Chalvis, at Instagram, Jill Chalvis. And I love your bio. I don't know if you're – I'm reading the one from last year, but I love how it says that when you're working, most of your books come from a combination of hard work, cookies, and hot guy picks, and not necessarily in that order. What hot guy picks? Are they the celebrities? Do you just look up hot guys? Or
both. I mean, I like to have inspiration picks while I'm writing, and that includes scenery. I had a great time picking out scenery picks for the Sunrise Cove series because the Tahoe area is gorgeous where I live.
Yeah.
You can live in a better spot. But I pick out pictures for the dogs and the cats in the story and for the characters too. And I'm just saying it's not a hardship to look up hot guys for the inspiration picks.
Where do you get your inspiration for your stories? I mean, I know it says that there's a lot of quirky characters where you live. Are those kind of, you know, like if you go to the coffee shop? I mean, now I'm sure it's
absolutely
not as easy to get up because of everything going on.
But I love to read. I love to watch TV, watch movies. I kind of just, I'm more of a listener. I'm a true introvert, so I'm not really out there. If I'm at a coffee shop, I'm not joining in on the talking. I'm eavesdropping on all the stories I hear. And so it just kind of comes from everywhere. I've had this story in mind for a long time. I wanted to do a story where two people thought they were going to die and didn't. And so I knew that much, at least. And I always pick out, I always have little snippets of the first scene before anything else.
And then it's set in, you know, the series is called Sunset Cove. Is it? Are we going to see more of these characters in future books as supporting or background? Or are we just going to meet new characters?
Probably background. The next book in the series comes out in June, and it's called The Friendship Pact. And so it takes place in summer in Tahoe. And you will see characters, you will see setting the same, because it's in the same small town as Sunrise Cove, which is on the northern side of the lake. But you'll see the same bar, the same diner, that sort of thing. And if the characters cross over, it's background mostly.
Yeah, like they're in the bar or something and somebody knows somebody.
Yeah.
Or
because my goal is that anybody can pick up these books and read them in or out of order. It won't matter.
Yeah. And how long does it take you to write a book? I think the reason we didn't talk for your second book last year was they said you were busy writing, and at the time you just you wanted to concentrate on your writing.
That's probably late on a book.
Yeah.
It takes me a good 5 to 6 months for each one.
To write one, and then you have to wait for the edits and then go back and kind of fix things up a little bit.
Definitely. Revisions and then copy edits. I mean, I see the book a bunch of times before any reader ever sees it.
And at this point, you've been writing books for quite a while now. Do they pretty much just let, they trust what you're doing and they say, or do you still have to give kind of an outline, or are they just like...
I mean, I've been writing since the Ice Age, and mostly they do trust me, thankfully. And I do give them a brief synopsis. Oftentimes the book looks nothing like the synopsis by the time I write it, but they're okay with that if they like the book.
Are you writing the book as you go along, or do you know in your head like what you want to happen and where it's going to end, and then the interim when you get to it is everything you're writing as you're going along?
You know, I used to write from the seat of my pants, is what they call it. If you write without an outline, you just start writing and you go, and what happens, happens. I changed a long time ago, and I do it from an outline now, a very detailed outline, because these books are bigger now than they, I used to write much shorter, straight romances where there were no other elements or necessarily subplots. But these books have so many threads and so many characters that now I need a detailed outline so I don't let something fall away or forget something or contradict myself. So it does, I spend a lot of time up front writing a detailed character analysis and an outline, and then I start.
I think it's safe to say for people that are wondering, if they're wondering more about what your books are like, any of your books, I think, could be Hallmark movies.
Yeah, probably if Hallmark movies were rated R. Yeah. I hope I'm more suited to like one of the streamers We Shall See.
Oh, I didn't think your books were quite that. I thought they're probably more PG-13 myself, but.
I mean, let's face it, I would love a Hallmark or a Lifetime or anything, any sort of movie or stream or season to come out of any of these books. That'd be a dream of a lifetime. I did have one book made to a movie, The Trouble with Mistletoe from the Heartbreaker Bay series. So people can look that up on Amazon. You can stream it off Amazon.
And then I love right on the front cover, she's my go-to reader for humor and heart, Susan Mallory, who always writes great books herself.
Yeah, she does.
And you got some other cool people. Let me pull them up here. You got... Susan Wiggs, Rayanne Thane, Publishers Weekly love your book. So you got some of the big names in the business, you know, love reading your book. Do you have time to blurb other people's books?
I do blurb other people's books when it's possible. It's hard because you have to read the book and you have to genuinely believe in it. But I try to. I think it's a nice way to help people, and I certainly appreciate when people blurb my books.
So you said the next book is out in what, May?
In June, the first week in June, it's called The Friendship Pact.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, The Family You Make is out on January 11th, next Tuesday, from the people folks at Morrow Books. Before I let you go, I just have to ask, obviously, you're safe, your family's good, everyone's doing okay in these crazy times?
Crazy. Yes, we are. We just had the storm of the century with, like, I think Tahoe got more feet in the month of December than we've ever had before, ever. So that was a challenge, but we're all safe and sound.
Yeah, I saw that on Good Morning America, the reporter, Matt Gutman. He was snowed in, and his daughter was his camera guy. He was doing the camera for him as he was doing a live shoot from his house. Well, is it a little bit better now?
Yes, we were all truly stocked in here. The highways were closed. People couldn't get in or out. And our little town actually ran out of the grocery store, and the gas stations ran out of food and gas. So we were truly stuck until the roads could get cleared.
Yeah. Well, Jill, I appreciate the time today. Again, The Family You Make is out on next Tuesday, January 11th, depending on when you're listening to this. I'll look forward to your future books, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thank you. Yes, we will. Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.